You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to another episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show, proudly part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. It's Aaron the Brain again, flying this thing, and we thought we were going to have Josh back. He thought he was going to be here. Unfortunately, he is now in the COVID protocol. So, no problem. Next man up. We're calling on Dolphins Talk himself, Mike Oliva. Mike, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people. Josh, what's going on, man? Two shows in a row. We'll see you back next Thursday, or this Thursday, I should say.
Do we need to put him on IR scheduled to return where he has to miss it, where he has to miss at least four shows to make sure that he's fully healthy?
I spoke to him this afternoon, too, and he was fine, but as you said when we spoke earlier, just sort of came over him just like that, and it hit him pretty hard. So hope you feel better, Josh.
Yeah, I got out of work at 6:30, and Josh had texted me about a couple hours before. He said, yeah, it's going downhill pretty quick. I talked to him. The second he said hello, I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy's not doing a show tonight.
No,
No problem. I think it's, obviously, first and foremost, we want Josh to feel better. So, Josh, rest up. We got you. Take care of yourself. Have lots of fluids. And hopefully, we'll be talking to you again here. So I know I'll be talking to you because we're brothers and all. But, hopefully we'll be doing a show together soon. But it's sort of apropos since Mike and I did the preview show for this game together. That we're here to do the recap of this game. And of this game, we're talking, of course, about the Dolphins' 31-17 loss on Sunday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles, dropping the Dolphins to 5-2. And I want to get right into it. We talked last week about what does this game mean in the grand scheme of things, and we both kind of agreed that this game wasn't as much about the season goals and even the short-term or long-term goals for this season. It was really about respect. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you the question straight up. Did the Dolphins earn your respect on Sunday? And then, do you think that they earned the respect of the national media and football fans across the country?
Okay. In regards to if they earned my respect, the answer is yes. They were down 17-3. Hostile environment, primetime game in front of the world. They fought back to tie it up 17-17. So to me, that showed a lot of guts. We all know about the players who weren't on the field. We know about that. So the fact that they fought back and were able to tie it up 17-all showed me something. And I thought the one thing with this game that sort of stood out for me was on the Miami Dolphins defense. They haven't gotten a lot of attention this year because the offense has been scoring so many points. They haven't had to do a lot of heavy lifting this year. I thought they did a lot of the heavy lifting Sunday night, and I thought they played really, really well. They scored a touchdown for one, and Swift, he didn't go nuts running the ball. I thought they played exceptionally well. AJ Brown went off, but we know if we have Howard and Ramsey, heck, even if we had someone like Nick Needham out there healthy, AJ Brown probably doesn't have that type of game. So I can overlook that and just also look at what they did on that side of the ball to really not let the Eagles go nuts. And they really didn't let the Eagles go nuts. Then Wynn goes out early. You're pretty much down three offensive linemen. You got Kendall Lamb, Lester Cotton, and Liam Eichenberg is half your offensive line. And while the offense struggled, it was still able to move the ball for the most part and stay in the game until they had the late turnover, which kind of ended the game. So, yes, they earned my respect overall. It stinks we lost, yes. But I liked a lot of what I saw on the field from this team in regards to the fight they had, the guts they had, and really what they did on defense. You want me to go next about the national media, or do you want to go?
Well, all right. Let me talk about how, you know, kind of did they earn my respect? And I'm kind of mixed on it. I hate to waffle. I don't want to sit on the fence. But the truth is there were things that I saw in that game that were encouraging. Yeah, the defense, that was encouraging, that the defense, the front seven played, or front six or whatever you want to call it, played their best game of the season. I think, you know, you could argue, well, maybe they played better against the Patriots. But when you consider the opponent, the front seven of this defense played by far their best game. They're going up against arguably the best offensive line in the league and getting after Jalen Hurts the way that they did, containing the run the way that they did, and really making Philadelphia work hard for everything that they had. Like, I get it. Like, you don't want to give up that last touchdown drive where, you know, Philadelphia has to have like 3 fourth down conversions to ultimately keep that drive going and then put the nail in the coffin. I get that, but you made Philadelphia have to work. And if you have a few more reinforcements, I feel like this, and you have those coming. It's not like we're just saying, well, if the defense had a few more better players, then they would be good. No, well, they have those players. They just didn't play in this game. So I think there's real reason for optimism on that side of the ball. The thing is on the other side of the ball, as much as like we all want to excuse the fact that they had a bunch of guys missing from their offensive line and it matters, the fact is that what you're seeing a little bit right now is that when they're playing teams that are really good defenses, they're struggling. Even the Patriots. Even the game against the Patriots, they looked really great for a half, and then they had a half where, save for one play, a big breakout run by Raheem Mostert, they were largely kept in check. I mean, they were basically shut out, aside from that run by Raheem Mostert in the second half of that game. And so I think you have to look kind of closely at what this offense is. Is it too finesse? Is it, you know, is this offense built to really perform at that level against the truly elite defenses? So to answer the question, I don't know. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I'm on the fence. And I guess if I'm on the fence, the true answer is no. Like, you're either convinced or you're not convinced. And so at this point, I would have to say that I'm not convinced that, you know, that they're the quote unquote contender that we want them to be. Now, could they be? Absolutely, they could be. We talked about this on Thursday, that it doesn't matter necessarily where you are 7 weeks into the season. What matters is what happens when you get to January. So now we'll ask the question, Mike, do you think that the Dolphins, what do you think the national media and the national response? I get off of Twitter after the game, and then I go do the rest of my life. And then I come back here and I just kind of commiserate with everybody and I get my thoughts out into the ether. And then I kind of get all the feedback. So I haven't been paying attention to it. I don't know. I can guess what it's like.
Well, I'm the perfect guy to ask. Here's why. Where you see me sit right now is where I sit for 8 hours every day in my quote unquote real job. And I got a TV right there. My little remote here, my little Verizon Fios, and I flip around as I work my real job, boop, 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 and I can watch. I watch ESPN Get Up, First Take, NFL Network, The Carton Show. I flip around and I see them all. So nobody's more qualified to answer where the national media stands on the Dolphins, and it is not a surprise. With the exception of maybe one or two people, everyone in the national media thinks the Dolphins are frauds. You had Colin Cowherd say the Dolphins are a fake gold watch and fake Gucci. They look great. Nice little speedboat, but a speedboat ain't going to get the job done. It just looks fancy and it goes really fast, but it really ain't meant for anything. You know, everyone is just saying they get, you know, Kyle Brandt today showed up on the NFL Network in his little Philadelphia Eagles jersey because they beat Miami, so now he's an Eagles fan. And just like, I told you so. I told, like, everyone, you name it. You name it. The only show that was somewhat honest with was ESPN First Take with Shannon Sharpe, Orlowski, and Stephen A. Smith, but every other show, and every other host, Rex Ryan, right, all of them, Miami's frauds, they're soft. You can push them around. And this, and just like you said, this offense ain't going to work when you get to cold weather on the road in a playoff game. They're just going to get punched in the face, and they're not going to do anything. So the national media, with the exception of like three people, just they've lost all faith in Miami. I think it's a little overblown, that narrative. They're 5-2. Everyone needs to just, 5-2 is 5-2 in the NFL. I know they lost at the Bills, and I know they lost at the Eagles. With that said, though, the old saying, winners get to brag, losers got to take it, and fans of the Dolphins have to take this narrative that they're frauds, because you go back to last year in December, lost to San Francisco, playoff team, lost to the Chargers, playoff team last year, lost to the Bills in the regular season, lost to the Bills again in the playoffs. Now you lose to the Bills again this year, and then you lose to the – it's been a long time since the Dolphins have beaten a quote-unquote good team. So they – you can't say, no, you're wrong. Those people saying that have a strong case to say it. It's the Dolphins' job. Now in 2 weeks, play the Chiefs in Germany. They have another opportunity. And if you thought the Eagles got all the calls, wait till you see a Kansas City Chiefs game with Pat Mahomes. Talk about getting all the calls. Miami's got no chance of winning the penalty. They're going to get every call in that game because it's the Chiefs, and they always get every call. But that's their next opportunity to shut everyone up, because after that game, it's a long stretch before you play the Cowboys-Ravens to sort of shut up the narrative that you can be someone who's good. So the national media does not believe in the Dolphins right now. They've all somewhat bailed on them. And I think they're a nice team. They're a playoff team. They'll probably make the playoffs, losing the first round. That was pretty much the general consensus today.
Yeah, and it's hard to really argue with it. At this point, like you said, you laid it out there. Their last few games against teams that were quote-unquote playoff teams or quote-unquote good teams, they've lost. And until they prove that they can do it, nobody is really going to buy in aside from, the homer fan base. And that's just the way it is. And that's fine, because nobody really has to buy it. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether the media buys in, whether the just fan win base games. Buys in. At the end of the day, it's what happens on the field. But we have no real reason to believe that this team is any different until they actually prove that they're different. And so I want to get in and break down a little bit more about what we saw in this game on Sunday night. But before we do,
check your pulse if you're not fired up.
It is pulse check time. So if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're watching and streaming on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, you can go ahead and let us know in the comment section here in the chat. What is the one word that describes how you're feeling today, right now, at this moment, about the Miami Dolphins? Mike, since you are the guest here, I am going to let you go first. So, Mike, what's your pulse?
My one-word pulse check is annoyed. And here's why I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed that Miami lost. I'm annoyed at the referees. I'm annoyed that our offensive line now in week eight is in shambles again with a bunch of injuries and guys out, and who the heck knows who we're playing this week. I'm annoyed to hear all these TV talking heads, like I say, call Miami frauds with a 5-2 start. They make it sound like 5-2 is bad, but we have to sit there and listen to it. I'm annoyed that we couldn't capitalize on the Bills losing yesterday and put another game in between us and them. And I'm annoyed, when I really think about this, that the stinking Jets beat both the Bills and the Eagles, and we couldn't. So I am just annoyed across the board.
Annoyed is a good word, and I share that sentiment, but I've got a different word for how I'm feeling. And this is not necessarily how I'm feeling. It's just how I feel about the Dolphins right now. And the word that comes to mind is green. And no, that's not just because they lost to the Kelly Green Philadelphia Eagles wearing their throwbacks on Sunday night, although it was apropos. The thing that's most frustrating about the way the Dolphins lost, and yeah, the officiating in this game sucked, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that. But the thing that really stands out is that the Dolphins had a chance to win this game. And it just looked like there were certain things that happened in this game that are trademarks of teams that, like the Dolphins, are the upstart team, the new kids on the block that are trying to prove themselves, but aren't quite there yet because they're just a little bit green. Like getting off to a slow start and not really being able to find your bearings until you're down 17-3 because you, for whatever reason, you didn't have that game plan ready. You didn't, you weren't ready to show up and go mano a mano against them. Whether that's the mental errors, you know, delay of game on the first, on the first play of the, I don't know how you get a delay of game on the first play of the
scripted
game.
Play.
Josh and I used to talk about there needed to be, you know, you have your normal flags, your yellow flags. But when you had like a really dumb penalty, it was an orange flag. I mean, all sorts of orange flags in this game. I mean, coming out in the first play of the game and having to delay a game, that's an orange flag. The roughing call on Christian Wilkins. Now, I know that they came out there and they had their rules expert tell you that that should not have been a roughing call. And that's fine. It, at the very best or worst, however you want to look at it, it was a very soft roughing call. But you know what? It was a very dumb play by Christian Wilkins, because Christian Wilkins had an entire step and a half to get to the quarterback with the ball already released, and he goes out there with his arms extended. Like, what are you doing? Like, you just want him to feel you? Okay, fine. Like, get close to him. But that was the fact that your arms were extended, it in a bang-bang play like that, a referee can say, oh, well, he took a late, easy, cheap shot. And that was the difference between the stopping a Philadelphia Eagles drive and giving up a touchdown in that beginning stretch. You know, Tyreek Hill himself is not green. Like, Tyreek Hill has a championship pedigree. He won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, and he's the best receiver in the league. He might be the best football player in the league. But even Tyreek Hill drops a ball, you know, that could have been a touchdown. And yeah, the Dolphins ended up getting a pick six shortly thereafter that kind of made up for it or whatever. But there were a lot of mental mistakes, a lot of penalties. Not every penalty was a bad call, that, you know, against the Dolphins. And they just looked green. And when they needed to make a play at the end of the game, you know, they had the Eagles 24-17. It's a close game. And when they needed to make a play on either side of the ball, they just couldn't do it. So it just felt to me like, yeah, they kind of proved that they can hang with the Eagles, but they were a little bit too green to get the job done.
I agree. And
what the fan said here in the chat, JM Santos is concerned. Danny Salonzo is anxious. Daniel Garza Cantu is frustrated. Daryl Woodard is par, says the Dolphins are par. They're average. John Guiley or Guiley, he's pissed at the refs, not at the Dolphins. He's pissed at the refs. I understand being pissed at the refs, definitely. But I think you do need to direct a lot of it at the Dolphins. Let's see. Anybody else? We got somebody that said fraudulent team. Cap for Life says vindicated. I don't understand why he's vindicated. Was Cap for Life saying that the Dolphins were frauds?
I don't know.
Yourself in the chat. But anyway,
exhausted. That's a good one here from Anthony. Exhausted.
Yeah, a good one as well.
I got some here on Twitter I can read through real quick.
Yeah, Mike, read the Twitter ones.
Okay, so we got Kevin Dern with Trelescent.
He's not Scrum Trelescent. He's just Trelescent. No.
We got Mark Berger with one word, beat the Chiefs. We got Nick with optimistic, Los with confident, make throwbacks permanent, who I love. His Twitter feed is one purpose only: get the Dolphins to go back to throwbacks. His one word is zebra. Bobby T is optimistic. Parker is sad. Robert is meh. Someone is not worried. Not one word, but we'll let it slide. TM is disappointment. We have Mark also with disappointed. Mista is optimistic. Chris is fraudulent. Catley, a lot of optimistics. A lot of optimistics here. I didn't realize this. Air Force Fett is also disappointed. We got Josh says, not our Josh, someone else named Josh says outstanding. Gail outstanding. Says first. I'm I don't know.
I'll take what he's having.
Exactly. Jonathan says despondent. JP is curious. CSC is uneasy. Doc is determined. Make Miami great again is optimistic. Another one. Part is queasy. Ryan is cheated. It feels like
yeah. The majority of the fan base right now
kind of feels, got respect.
Feels like they like the Dolphins are there, and that if circumstances were different with injuries and we got a fair game from the officials, that the Dolphins would have won this game. I don't know that I share that sentiment. I think that I'll say this about the fan base, and I think this is true of virtually all fan bases. Yeah. And you know, look, if you hate me for saying this, whatever, it's nothing new. Everybody hates me anyway.
I'm right there with you. Don't worry.
Yeah, like how many times do we have to see this? Like, exactly. I get that this team looks different, and I'm not ready to say definitively that this is the same old Dolphins. But we're 7 weeks through the season. In those 7 weeks, we've had multiple weeks where the fan base in general has been talking about how this team is Super Bowl contenders and how we're going to win it all. And twice we've played good teams and we've lost those games by a combined 42 points. At some point, I'm not saying that you need to be, if you feel like this team is going to accomplish all their goals, that's fine. They don't need to be there right now. But to feel like outstanding, amazing, this team has not accomplished a damn thing. It really has not accomplished a damn thing. So you could feel optimistic. I have no problem with anybody saying that they feel optimistic. But if you feel like this team has accomplished anything, to feel like really happy with the product, I mean, like you probably felt the same way during the Adam Gase era after the Miami Miracle. That's probably
here's a perfect example.
Probably what it is.
The perfect example was last year when they lost the regular season game to the Bills in Buffalo, where Miami for three quarters pretty much had control of the game. Mostert had like 100-something yards rushing by at like halftime, and they blew the game late. And after the game, I was stunned because the Dolphins by that point lost like three or four in a row, and the majority of the fan base was acting like they won. It's like, wait, you guys realize we just lost again? Because we had already lost to like San Francisco, and like we just lost again, and the fan base was acting like we won. And I'm like, why is everyone so happy? And I kind of get that feel. And look, like you said, optimistic is fine. 5-2 start. There's no apologizing for a 5-2 start. And if you want to be optimistic, I'm kind of there with you. I thought they earned respect last night. I liked what I saw. Now look, they got to finish the job. It's only October 23rd. They got to finish the job in November, December, and I have more hope this year than I have in previous years that they will finish the job. But it's like, I don't know. Outstanding is a tough one to swallow. And there's so many more. This was a big
crowd. We don't need to get into everyone. Know that with as many as we read, just know that when we ask you for your pulse check, for your one word, if you tweet it at us or you put it here in the chat, there's a good likelihood it's going to get read on the video and on the podcast. So, you know, just some, you know, something to chew on for next week after their game against the Patriots. If you, you know, want to think hard about your word, go ahead and let us know. So there was some other news and some fallout from this game that I want to get into with you, Mike. But before that, I think it's time that the people hear a little bit about the great products at Caldera Lab.
Oh, Caldera Lab is the absolute best because they have mastered the art of skincare products for men. And, you know, the skincare game has been marketed towards females for many, many years. But it's, you know, men care about their face too. They want a clean face. They want to look good. And, you know, your face is your first impression in life. So everyone go to CalderaLab.com, promo code DolphinsTalk. You'll save 20% on your order. Now, what could your order be? They have so many great products. They have the eye serum to help with the bags under your eyes and the crow's feet around your eyes that, you know, we all get as we get older in life. They have the base layer, which is very good for your skin and like your face. Make sure it's soft. Make sure it's moisturized. They have the exfoliating soap, which is great for when you're in the shower and good for your whole body. If you have a beard, like Aaron's got a beard, they got the beard, it's called. It's a beard oil to protect your skin and have your beard be silky smooth. They have so many other great products as well. The point is, Caldera Lab has sort of taken the skincare game, marketed it, and sort of geared it towards men, and they've made it simple. All these things I'm mentioning, 1 minute in the morning, 1 minute at night, that's it. You don't have to spend, you know, minutes and minutes in front of the mirror. Simple to apply, and it really, and you will see results. Everyone go to CalderaLab.com, promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20% on your order.
So we're back, and there was some fallout to this game. There were some injuries, not just of players that did not play in this game, but there were some more injuries for players that did participate in this game. Jalen Waddle went out for a time, came back, didn't look to be 100% with a back injury. David Long and Javon Holland ran into each other and were both out for some time. I think Holland came back in the game. Long did not. Early in the game, Isaiah Wynn went out, and that directly led to a touchdown being called back from the Dolphins because Lester Cotton was beaten and ended up having to hold his man on what otherwise would have been a Miami Dolphins touchdown early in that football game. So, Mike, you've got the news on these injuries, at least where we stand right now. How's it looking?
Yep, Mike McDaniel at his afternoon press conference went through pretty much all of these. And let's start with David Long. The news here is good. He was cleared last night. The reason he didn't return to the game is by the time he was cleared, the game was essentially over. So David Long is clear and should be ready to go next week. He's not in concussion protocol. Javon Holland, on the flip side, who was cleared last night and went back in the game. So Mike McDaniel sort of explained it. When you are tested for a concussion in game, even if you're clear, the next day you have to have a follow-up checkup with the physician, and Holland did report himself symptoms of a concussion. So now Javon Holland, even though he returned to the game, is now in concussion protocol. So his status for this week's game is iffy. We don't quite know yet there. So he's in concussion protocol. Isaiah Wynn, who left the game very early last night with a quad injury, Mike McDaniel said, this is a multi-week injury. So Isaiah Wynn's going to be out here for a bit. You would have to guess with the Patriots, Chiefs, and a bye, I'd be shocked if we see him until after the bye, and it might even be longer. I don't know. Waddle with his back, he returned to the – he looked like he was in a ton of pain. I gave him a lot of credit last night for just returning to the field and being able to play. But he should be practicing, and they're just going to sort of monitor his back situation. And when it comes to some of the other guys like Howard and Connor Williams, just sort of is what it is. We'll watch the practice report this week. I wouldn't put much stock into it because last week, Mike McDaniel, Xavier Howard, he's going to play. I'm fine. You get to Sunday, he ain't playing. So take this stuff with a grain of salt all week because they're never going to tell you the truth. So Howard, we don't know. And we better hope Connor Williams can play. Otherwise, we're going to be playing the Patriots with Kendall Lamb at left tackle, Lester Cotton at left guard, and Liam Eichenberg at center. And I don't care what you think of the Patriots. That ain't good.
Yeah, and look, if there's, you know, if you needed a reminder that, you know, anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday, look, the Patriots just went out and beat Buffalo, and that was a good thing. It helped that there was the reason that the Dolphins are still in first place by their lonesome today is because the New England Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, and that's great. But if you don't come out ready, because we've heard a lot of talk about, you know, how we're going to get another opportunity to prove ourselves in 2 weeks. If the Dolphins are thinking about how they are going to get an opportunity to prove themselves in 2 weeks, they're going to go into that game in 2 weeks with a 5-3 record, especially with these injuries.
And they look good yesterday in New England. They look really good.
I tend to believe that they were really, really erring on the side of caution with Connor Williams and Xavien Howard, that if push came to shove, those two guys could have played, but with it being a non-conference game and that them just feeling like, hey, we need these guys to be 100%, I think they just gave them an extra week. I would be shocked. Frankly, I'd be very disappointed if both of those guys don't play next week. Especially if Javon Holland is out next week, you really, really, really need to have Xavien Howard out there because, you know, and we'll talk about things that, you know, we're discouraging. In fact, let's segue right into it. I think things that were discouraging, things that were encouraging in this game. I want to start with things that were discouraging because they lost. We need to kind of get our angst out on this show. It's a therapy session a little bit. Yeah. And then we'll kind of make things a little bit more positive. And then we'll end with some, I think, pretty fun news that came out today. But as far as things that I'm discouraged by, this secondary continues to disappoint. And I get that you're going to get Jalen Ramsey back and you're going to get Xavien Howard back. But the defense as a whole played well in this game, but it just goes to show you that any idea that the Dolphins had like this great depth in their secondary, it's just not true. Like Kader Kohou is a nice player, but he's been exposed at this point. Kader Kohou is at best your third best corner on a good defense. If Kader Kohou is one of your two best corners, your cornerback situation is not that good. If Kader Kohou is your best cornerback out on the field, like he was on Sunday, then you're really in trouble because Eli Apple is fine if he's your fourth cornerback. But the fact is that even though for the most part in this game, they did not give up the big play, they gave up a couple. The big one to A.J. Brown at the end of the game was really the one that kind of broke their back, and it was a huge one. For the most part, they did a good job of keeping everything in front of them, but what they did was they didn't make any plays. Nobody in this secondary made a play. Everything was you're going to give up a catch and then you're going to tackle him. But against a team like Philadelphia, great, you tackled him short of the sticks, but now it's fourth and one. It might as well have been a first down because you're not stopping him on fourth and one. And that's not just a Dolphin thing. I don't know anybody in the league can stop that. It's just that at this point, with that offensive line, that quarterback, it is an unstoppable play to stop that play. Whatever the tush push, the brotherly shove, whatever the hell you want to call it. If you got a yard to gain, you literally know what's coming and you just can't stop it. So I was discouraged by that with the secondary. But what I was most discouraged by, to be perfectly honest, is just the offense in general. And I think and I'm not even really throwing Tua into this because honestly, I thought Tua had a great game. The interception at the end was bad. It was tough. He tried to make a play. I think there may have been a mistake by Raheem Mostert based on where he was in the field with the route that he ran, because if Raheem Mostert doesn't run that route, then you're not getting two defenders in the area. And that's just a one-on-one play, a jump ball for Jaylen Waddle in the, on like a post corner route. But I thought Tua by and large played a really excellent game. So it's really not even about Tua. It's really about just the flow of this offense. And I knew going into this game that even if Connor Williams was playing, going up against that Eagles defense, it's going to be hard to run up the middle. But at some point, if everything that you do is finesse, it's not going to work against the best defenses in the league. You have to have an element of smash mouth. And I thought, you know, to their credit, they ran the ball much better in the third quarter, in the second half of this game. They started to get that going. They had some balance and they started to move the ball. But at the end of the day, they still scored one offensive touchdown in the second half. It's just not good enough. Like this, the idea that this offense is elite and that they're going to score 30 points, you know, every week. Well, I'm a victim of that. Like I was wrong. I was disproven because this is the second time that they've, well, it's really the third time that they played a good defensive team this year. Cause I'm throwing New England in there as well. Buffalo, New England, and Philadelphia. Three times they've played good defenses. They've scored 24, 20, and 17. So they're basically averaging 20, 21 points a game. That's not going to get it done. It just isn't. Like, and I'm not saying that, you know, the defense needs to be elite and everything, but like this team is the way this team is built with as much emphasis as they put on the weapons and everything. This team is kind of built to score 30 points. And if they score 30 points, you should win most weeks. But if they don't score 30 points, I'm wondering if they can win. And if they can't score 20, like you're not going to win most weeks, no matter how good your defense is. So I'm concerned about the longevity of what this offense can be when we get into cold weather on the road. Granted, get home field advantage, and maybe you don't have to deal with that in January because you could play at the Hard Rock and it'll be 80 degrees at 1 o'clock, you know, on a Sunday, and that'd be nice. But if this team has to go into Buffalo or Kansas City or even Cincinnati or Cleveland or Baltimore, defense. I mean, like, I just don't know that this offense can function like that. I think the national media narrative about you can push this team around, that they're soft, I think it's a little bit true. So I was very discouraged on that. What discouraged you the most in this game, Mike?
Yeah, had to do with the offensive side of the ball, but I want to hone in on one aspect of it. And it's just, I can't believe we're still back on October 23rd, 2023. After everything we've done, we're still talking about the damn offensive line. It's like we cannot not talk about it. And I know there's guys hurt. I get it. But, and I know there's no team out there that has a second string offensive line that's like ready to go and that's super great. I get it. No team has that. But good Lord, we're still back to now worrying about can the offensive line, we've got Armstead, who me personally, I've written him off for the year. If he comes back, great. I'm not holding my breath. I just tend to think he's done, honestly. But Armstead, who the heck knows when he's coming back, if he comes back. Yeah, Connor Williams has been in on the lineup all year. There's part of me that says, you know, I hope what you said is right, that they're being overly cautious. Then there's a second part. Just let him sit for a month, and hopefully then we have him for the stretch run. I don't know. And now with Isaiah Wynn, who had a long injury history with the Patriots, that's why they got rid of him, really, because he could never stay healthy. And when he did play, he wasn't great. He's actually playing well this year. Now he's going to be out for weeks, whether it's 2, 3, 4, who the heck knows. We're back in the same boat of now on October 23rd, having a lackluster offensive line for the foreseeable future with a few holes that we can't fill. And Lester Cotton just looked overmatched last night. I know the Eagles have a very good front seven. Lester Cotton just looked overmatched, and I'm not sure he might look overmatched this week against the Patriots. And the Patriots have lost a few players on that side of the ball. But so – that's really the discouraging part. Yes, the loss is very discouraging. The fact we let an opportunity not to pick up one more game on all that. But that offensive line, we're back in the same boat wondering who's going to play this week, who's going to play where. If Connor Williams plays, do you move Eichenberg over left guard? I don't think you do at this point. I think you just got to keep him at center and just keep him working on that, because he just looked, for as good as Liam Eichenberg played last week versus the Panthers, which he did, he was atrocious last night. The snaps were high, low, on the ground, rolling to the quarterback at one point. He was atrocious. And the fact that this team is 5-2 with a chance to make a run later in the year, we think, hopefully, get in the playoffs, maybe make a run if you get hot, we're one snap away from this guy being our center. And he's now he's played in 3 games at this position. It's been a roller coaster, horrible, good, horrible. It's you don't know what you're going to get from him when he has to play. And it sounds like he might have to play more this year, all depending on what's going on. So just the offensive line issues is really the discouraging aspect for me that we're still talking about this in 2023 after all the previous years of talking about how the offensive line is an issue. Now it's injuries.
Yeah, and I look, obviously the offensive line did not have a good game, but I think like you got to take opponent into consideration, and you also have to look at, you know, the depth chart, because like no offensive line that has 3 guys out against that Eagles defensive line is going to look good. But honestly, like they still had opportunities. Like the offensive line obviously was a point in the game where was part of the game where the Eagles definitely dominated. The Eagles defensive line definitely won that battle, but that didn't lose them the game.
Hey, even with the penalties last night, if they execute, if Hill catches that ball and just walks in for a touchdown, and if Tua doesn't throw that late interception, there's a very good chance they sneak out of there with a win. There really is. Those two plays really, I mean, with all the penalties, 10-0, the whole thing, if they just execute those two plays, there's a good chance they might sneak out of there. It's probably, you know, with a win, or at least it's going like right down to the wire maybe. Like those two plays really hurt them the most. So even, you know, people talk about the refs, they were right there.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, look, Liam Eichenberg, like, they sucked. Like, Liam Eichenberg sucks. It is what it is. But when you say, well, what you don't know what to expect from Liam Eichenberg? No, you know what to expect from Liam Eichenberg. Liam Eichenberg is going to suck, but if they go up against a defense that's not great, they can get by with him. And that's kind of, that's literally what a backup's job is. Nobody's expecting, like, no backup offensive lineman. Nobody's going in there and saying, I feel good about my backup offensive lineman going up against this all-pro defensive lineman. It's just not a good matchup. And the same thing goes for Kendall Lamb and his matchup. I thought Austin – the thing is Austin Jackson, I think, had a rough game as well. And I think it's just kind of like letting you know, all right, Austin Jackson is having a really nice season. But at the end of the day – when he goes up against a really, really, really good defensive lines, some really good edge rushers, you know, he's going to have some issues. This Dolphins offensive line, I think for the most part, is good if healthy. If healthy, this is a good offensive line. If not healthy, then I think it's going to be an average offensive line. And if it's an average offensive line, then when you play good defensive lines, they're going to struggle. And I think that's kind of where they're at. But it is discouraging that we can't stay healthy. You know?
Well, my point is more, it's like, it's not surprising. Armstead's always hurt. You got to plan on him every year, missing games. Win with the Patriots, always hurt. Newsflash, he gets hurt in Miami. So it's like, I don't expect the second string offensive line to be good. Nobody does. That's unrealistic. But I wish we would have maybe prepared a little, maybe have a proven center as your second string. We don't have to do this with Liam. You know, like, that is like, I don't feel we prepare, like knowing 2 of your guys are going to start just are going to miss time because they just always do. And if Liam's our backup left guard for when, cool, whatever is what it is. But having him, he never played center before. We got him at center, Lester Cotton. It's just like, I don't think we prepared enough. We should have seen, one man should have saw this coming and he should have done just a little bit more. You know, it's just a little bit more.
Is this who you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the frustrating part, really. I actually saw him 2 weeks ago when I was in Miami.
Well,
nice guy.
Well, here's the thing. I'm showing a picture of Chris Greer right now, and Mike's saying, well, Chris Greer should have had a plan. And here's the thing. He did have a plan.
Yeah.
And that was the plan. The plan is right there. It's Dan Feeney. Why is Dan Feeney not on this roster?
Because if he's your backup center, Liam's your backup left guard, and Lamb's your backup left tackle, I'm more comfortable with that. Because I know we got a backup center who's actually played center. Liam Eichenberg, it is what it is, but he's a left guard. He's your backup left guard. And you got Lamb at left. Like, I feel more comfortable instead of this, you know, no offense to Lester Cotton, but, you know, he could very easily be in the USFL like in a year. And that says something. And no offense to Liam.
What happened to Robert Jones? Center.
What's that?
What happened to Robert Jones? Is Robert Jones not healthy? Okay.
Here. Very, because this is why we think alike. Last night in the game, after Lester Cotton got beat for like the seventh time, I put out a tweet saying, where's Robert Jones? Can't we throw him out there for a series? Is he active? Because I was pretty sure he was active. Omar Kelly responded to my tweet and said, he's still been limping around a lot and he's not healthy enough to play. So I don't even know if he's active. I thought he was activated off the IR, maybe not, which this Wednesday is a big day, because if Nick Needham isn't moved to the active roster on Wednesday, his season's over. And I think the same for Robert Jones. I don't know about Jones. Wednesday's a big day for those two, because I know they were taken off IR at the same time. I thought Jones was already moved to the active roster, but I might be wrong. So Jones isn't healthy enough, per Omar Kelly, from what he responded to my tweet. Because I had the same thought last night. I'm like, can we give someone else a chance? Because this isn't working tonight. I don't expect the backup offensive lineman to be great. I just wish we had an experienced backup center who can at least snap the ball. And if he can block, great, but at least snap the ball with no issues. And that's kind of the frustrating part, is it's like, it is what it is, whatever. I should be used to it by now.
All right.
Here's the encouraging part, real quick.
Well, perfect segue, because that's what we were getting into. What's encouraging?
The defense, I thought. I said at the start of the season, it was going to take 4, 6, 8 weeks for that side of the ball to come together. And for Vic Fangio to get everyone on the same page and sort of buy in. And something else I learned last night was Raekwon Davis, I guess, played the first month of the year with a broken hand. Might explain some of the reasons he didn't look so great. So he's healthy now with the hands up. It's all healed. We saw, I thought, last night with your top corners out. I know the secondary had a rough night at the office and there's not a lot of depth. And Cam Smith probably ain't going to play this year, which is why I laughed after the game. Mike McDaniel said, yeah, Cam Smith might play down the road, just not tonight. When you get back Ramsey Howard and Nick Needham, how is Cam Smith ever going to see the field? If Cam Smith can't see the field with those three out, he's never going to see the field when they're back. He ain't playing this year. It's fine. I'm not even mad about it. It just is what it is. But I thought we saw big strides on that side of the ball. Phillips looked like the guy we all want him to be, the pass rusher who can take over a game. Chubb, I thought, played very, very well. Raekwon played very well. Swift didn't go nuts. Yeah, he got like 80 or 90 yards, whatever it was. He didn't go nuts, though, and just like take over the game. I thought the front seven played great in the secondary for being down. How many people they were down? Adequate against those two receivers, I'd say adequate. And, you know, I am excited now. Once we do get back Howard and Ramsey and hopefully Nick Needham, and we get Holland back out of protocol at some point, what that side of the ball can do, because it seems like the light bulb's starting to go off. And it started to go off versus the Giants. It started to go off versus the Panthers, but the Giants and the Panthers, how much could you read into it? This was at the Eagles, and that was up until the last drive where they scored to sort of that was a one-score game. And I thought it was mainly a one-score game because of the defense, not the offense.
Yeah, and I'll do you one better on that. I thought in the first half where the defense gave up 17 points, they were really close to only giving up three, because there were a couple of drives where they had them stopped. I mean, one was the Christian Wilkins penalty. So that one, I believe that penalty happened. They weren't even in field goal range. So I don't think that they score on that drive without it. And then there was another drive where on multiple occasions they had Jalen Hurts. And I don't mean like Jalen Hurts scrambled, because that's what Jalen Hurts does. And there's a certain element of that, that a great player is going to make great plays. But you had him bottled up and you just didn't make the play. And you just didn't finish the play. And I think that they were very, very close to really having a first half where they only gave up like 3 points. And then they actually played a lot better in the second half up until that last drive. And honestly, even on the last drive, it's not like they played poorly. It's just – they kept getting into fourth and one situations, and they couldn't stop them on fourth and one. And then the drive before, after they had tied the game up at 17, and then the Eagles drove down early in the drive, is when you have Holland and David Long go out, and that throws you into disarray defensively because you're already without Xavien Howard. And honestly, Javon Holland is the one guy on the back end of that defense that you cannot afford to lose, because he's the only guy that can really play deep safety. Without Javon Holland in there, you're really limited what you can do in coverage defensively, because you basically took him out and you replaced him with Brandon Jones, whose MO is not coverage. You had Brandon Jones and Deshaun Elliott then there back there in coverage. And so you have to change your whole defensive scheme for that. And then David Long, you had to take out of the game. And David Long was probably, look, as great as Jalen Phillips played in this game and Bradley Chubb played in this game and Jerome Baker had a pick six, David Long was probably your best defensive player in that game.
He was everywhere. He was everywhere.
He was having a whale of a game. And so he gets hurt. I don't think it's a coincidence that he comes out of the game, and the next two times that the Eagles have the ball, they score two touchdowns. You end up with Duke Riley in his place. You end up playing Andrew Van Ginkle at off-ball linebacker. It's not his MO. I've seen enough of Andrew Van Ginkle at off-ball linebacker, by the way. Andrew Van Ginkle is a really, really good sub-package edge rusher. Like, I love having Andrew Van Ginkle for that role on this team. Yep. And I think he's really good at that. But I don't think that he's a good fit to play off-ball linebacker. We've seen it the last couple of weeks when he's gotten into that. The Dolphins have given up big plays on the ground. They've given up big plays in the air. Teams are attacking him when he's at off-ball linebacker. But I think you're right. Not to get too negative, because this is supposed to be the encouraging part. I think the defense is definitely putting it together. And look, hopefully you get Nick Needham back. You're going to get Jalen Ramsey back. You're going to get Xavien Howard back. And if you get the defensive line playing like that and you get the reinforcements on the back end, that this defense could actually be a good defense. And if it's a good defense, then even with the offense maybe not being as elite as we thought it was, I think this team can be where they want to be. And so it's week 7. It's not like this happened in January. It's not like the playoffs are starting next week and we don't have reinforcements coming. There are definitive pathways for this thing to get better. There's a lot of reason for optimism and a lot of reasons to be encouraged with that side of the football. And I think, given, you know, the injuries that you had on the offensive line, given what we've seen from this offense this season, you're also going to get Devon Achane back. I think there is reason to believe that the offense is going to continue to get better as well. So there's a lot of reasons to be encouraged and to be optimistic, even if at this point they haven't necessarily earned my respect or the respect of the national media. So,
and there's still 8 days to make a trade. 8 days to make a trade.
There is
big trade. We're not talking big. We're talking fifth, sixth round pick. Maybe take on a bad contract to someone who can help you. Something middle of the defense, nose tackle, maybe a center guard for a little depth. Might be a little better what you got. I think something small like that's not out of the realm. They're not going to add a tight end. They're not going to add a wide receiver. They're not going to add a running back. But I do think defense, maybe even safety possibly, or depth offensive line for like a late round pick or a pick swap is totally possible.
So you would go either offensive line or safety. Would be the two positions.
Nose tackle first, actually.
Oh, okay, I agree. I think
nose tackle first, but then
interior defensive line depth, I think, is number one. I would hate to give away a lot of draft capital for some.
I'm talking
scrub,
like a pick
for,
swap.
Well, I'm saying yeah. for like. For some, because you're not going to get a guard. You're not going to get a guard for nothing. You're not going to get a guard that you can actually plug and play and feel good about for nothing.
No, not to start. I'm talking just for depth. Like,
yeah, but then at that point, it's like what? Like, are they even better than
if like, there's a team,
a backup center, maybe.
Like, if there's a team like the Bears, the Panthers, who know they're out of it, and they just want to stockpile picks, we give them a six, we take their seventh, and we got to take on a guy maybe with a bad contract, final year of his deal, something like that. I'm not talking about anyone great. I'm just talking something who's a little more stable than maybe what we have. Now, look, we had that guy. We traded him away already. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I've got it. I've got the answer. I've got the solution.
Who is that, Michael?
The Bears are out of it.
Bears are out of it.
Bring him back, baby. Bring him back.
Bring him back,
Mr. Feeney.
But that's what I'm talking about by trade. I'm not talking about a starter. We're not getting a starter because Wynn's going to come back. He's going to start. Armstead, everyone says he's coming back. He's going to start like just a serviceable piece, maybe a team that's out of it. They got a guy that they're paying a little too much. You know what? If we can take a pick in round seven, move it to round six, and you want to take this guy for 8 weeks and he's off our books, go ahead. Something like that. Not like a Chase Claypool trade. They didn't want him anymore. They're fed up with him. You pay him for the next, 9 weeks and he's off our hands and we'll swap up around. Like something small and light like that. At any of those positions.
All right. So we're running kind of long. So the last thing that I want to get into is some news broke today. I didn't even know that this was a thing.
It's a thing. I've never watched it because I thought the format's kind of played out at this point. But now with Miami, I have to watch this one.
So in-season Hard Knocks, the Miami Dolphins will be the featured team. I haven't really looked into how many episodes this is, when this is taking place.
I have that information.
All right.
Mike McDaniel, they're not going to start to record until after they get back from Germany. So once they get back from Germany trip, then they're on a bye. That's when they're going to start the recording of the show. He wasn't concerned because, a lot of fans, oh my God, this is a distraction. Maybe 15 years ago when the show started, it was a distraction. With every one of these players in their smartphone, on their TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, they're shooting shows by themselves anyways. This is not a distraction to anybody. So after they get back from Germany, NFL Films are going to be there. They're going to record it. They're going to start, shoot like Hard Knocks. It's just going to be in season and it starts then and it goes until their season ends. So if they make a run to the Super Bowl, it's going to be there for a run to the Super Bowl. If they don't make the playoffs, it ends as soon as their season ends. That's when it stops. Stuff's usually on a one-week delay, maybe two-week delay. And, of course, just like with the other Hard Knocks, the Miami Dolphins, nothing's going to get out. They don't want to get out. They have veto power with all this stuff. And if they don't want something out there that happened behind the scenes or they don't want this meeting to get out, they're going to be able to say, take this out. It's not a huge deal. And it's going to give everyone a peek behind the curtain of what's going on. In the locker room, you're probably going to meet a few players and see their personalities more. This team has a lot of big personalities with Hill and some other guys, and you're going to see guys with their personalities out there and you're going to get to know them a little better and get a peek behind the curtain. Mike McDaniel, I'm sure, is going to be a star of the show. So I don't see it as a huge deal. I know some fans, look, this ain't the Pentagon and we ain't going to war. We're playing football here, folks. And if they want a few cameras following these guys around, as I said, they got their smartphones out. They're shooting content 24/7. What Tyreek Hill did last week on his podcast, is that any more or less a distraction going after Stephen A. Smith and starting that media circus than what could possibly come out of this? The answer is no. It just enjoy it for what it is.
I tend to agree with you, but I also there's human nature. And
I'm going to play it up to the camera.
I think to a certain extent, there's going to be it'll be a little bit of a distraction. And I also think to a certain extent, it puts a little bit of juice and bulletin board material on there for your opponents. I think people, when you're talked about in the national media and you're promoted and, everybody's, kissing up to you and talking about how great you are, because you always get that bump from Hard Knocks, whether it's preseason. I didn't know midseason was a thing, but you always see it in the preseason. Everybody starts to really think that whoever was on Hard Knocks, they always have a more positive opinion of them coming out of Hard Knocks than what they had going in, because I think generally that's how the show is meant to be promoted. And so, I mean, look, we've seen it you know, earlier this year when the Dolphins came out, kind of cocky against Buffalo, and, you know, Buffalo played by far their best game of the year. Like, I think bulletin board material is a thing. And I think bulletin board material happens when you're on Hard Knocks. I don't think that this team, given the fact that they are so green, necessarily needs this little bit of a distraction or needs to have, you know, other teams, being extra ready to play them. Or maybe they do. I don't know. It's kind of besides the point because it is what it is. It's going to happen. So whatever the circumstances are, the team has to come out ready to play. And so hopefully they will get this thing moving in the right direction. But I think that's going to
season. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just one more thing. It's the third time that they're doing the in-season one. 2021 was with the Colts. 2022 was with Arizona, and now this year's Miami. It's only for half a season, too. It's not like they already hit. So we'll see. Should be interesting. And you know who are going to be the main characters. They're going to factor in Mike McDaniel, Tyreek Hill, and I Tua. Suspect
and
who
Tua.
Else? Who might Tua? Yeah, but Tua's he might.
And Christian Wilkins is going to be.
Christian Wilkins is going to be a star on this one. So you know who the guys are going to be who are going to get all the camera time. And. Yeah, I want to see Vic Fangio doing Hard Knocks, but get the camera away from me. I don't need this crap, Vic.
Yeah. So anything else, Mike, that you want to add to kind of put a bow on this thing, on this week 7 loss to the Eagles?
No, I mean, look, it stinks they lost. They didn't lose 48-20 like they lost versus the Bills. They showed they hung around on the road versus a good team. Not an excuse. It is what it is. But beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and this team's going to be fine. Because you don't get stopped, for as much as everyone's saying they're frauds and stuff, a win versus a bad team versus a win versus a good team still counts as just one win. So beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Stockpile as many wins as you can. Try and get a 1 seed or at worst a 2 seed so you're at home for everything except for the AFC championship game. And – yeah, that's all. I mean, look, if you're someone who's easily triggered by talking heads, Colin Cowherd, Stephen A. Smith, just don't watch them. Don't let them trigger you. If you are easily triggered, don't watch. I had someone today yell at me, why do you share this stuff? I don't know. It's just football talk. It ain't really that important. I don't have to agree with it. I can still share and watch it. Who cares? You don't have to agree with everything. It's like, why do you turn on certain news channels? I won't even say which one. Why? Because I want to see what the other side's saying. I don't have to agree with it. It's what it is.
Yeah. And as fun as it is to think about, if you take care of business next week, you get that game in Germany against Kansas City. If you win both of those games, you are the number one seed in the AFC going into the bye week. As fun as it is to think about that, Jordan Murray said it. Cap for Life said it in the chat. We're on to New England. So
this game scares the hell out of me.
it's a scare. At least we get it at home.
At least we get it at home. And throwbacks. So
yeah. And we need it. And they need to be permanent.
Yes.
So for Mike, who you can follow on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it, you can follow him at Dolphins Talk. You could follow me at Aaron the Brain. You could follow Josh at Amplified to Rock. Josh, I hope you're feeling better. I hope you're getting some rest. We hope to get you back on as soon as possible when you're ready. For all of Dolphins fans across the country, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Called one penalty against Philly, just one.